back in the Eric Ostrowski. I wish we could have a chance for a super long one here, given that you guys are all here. But we do have to get ready for Aggressive Progressive. So, what I don't know why I'm obsessed with this, but I love to know where people grew up, and to just get a sense of their like just a little bit of like through high school, college, etc. So, Jordan, we got on Old School last night. Go check that out because you guys are members. So, Nomi, where'd you grow up? Tell us a little bit about it.
Are you ready for like a 45-minute conversation? No. I was born in Tucson, Arizona. Moved when I was 5 years old to Florida for 3 years. And then I grew up in Buffalo, outside of Buffalo, New York, on 27 acres in the middle of freaking nowhere. And then I went to college in University of Arizona in Tucson and then lived in Los Angeles. And now I'm in Astoria, New York. And I left out some other stuff.
So, out of all those, what do you consider home? So, for example, I grew up in Istanbul till I was 8, and then I lived in East Brunswick, New Jersey till I was 18. Then I went to school and I traveled all around, and my parents moved to Freehold. A, I'm a Jersey guy, and B, if you said what's home, I'd say East Brunswick, New Jersey. Okay,
yeah.
So what do you think?
Really do think, and maybe it's sort of like Barack Obama having two homes too.
Uh-huh.
I think it's Tucson, Arizona, and Lancaster, New York, outside of Buffalo. I have a split identity.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense because you were in both places and you went to school in Tucson.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. It's a rare non-New Jersey person. So now we turn to Michael.
New Jersey.
Such a small state.
I was born in Montclair, New Jersey. Grew up in West Caldwell, New Jersey. Hometown of Samuel Alito, by the way. And this is sort of interesting. When Samuel Alito was nominated to the Supreme Court in 2005, I happened to be in the AP Government and Politics class with his daughter.
Oh.
So the Bush administration put him under wraps. Like, he wasn't giving any media interviews, obviously, but he came in and spoke to our class.
Oh, my God. Uh-huh.
So I got to ask, and of course, nobody asked him questions but me, pretty much. So I was just hammering him with questions for like 45 minutes. And that was his only like pseudo media availability that he had after being nominated by George W. Bush. And I still have the notes from that interview.
Wow.
So
did he sign them?
No, I don't think he signed them. I took a photo with him, though.
Okay, but this is Michael's MO. I mean, this is how Michael got on the map in the first place. If you're going to talk to students, Michael's in the crowd. Because tell the Bill Clinton story.
Yeah, so the Bill Clinton story is, you know, before I even conceived of myself as a journalist in any respect, I went to a conference in Washington, D.C. that Bill Clinton was keynoting. It was the Center for American Progress's campus affiliate, Campus Progress at the time. And Bill Clinton was giving a keynote, and I said, you know, and this was in summer of 2009, when the dam was just beginning to break in terms of prominent Democrats endorsing gay marriage. Mm-hmm. There have been a few, but more prominent people were beginning to do it. I remember Chris Dodd had just endorsed same-sex marriage, and that was back when Chris Dodd endorsing something actually had some kind of impact and people cared about it for some reason. So I went to this conference and Bill Clinton gave the keynote. He just went on the rope line, and I approached him and I asked him if he supported gay marriage. And he gave some sort of, you know, he gave like an equivocal answer, and he lawyered his way out of it, of course. And then I followed up and I said, do you personally support it? And he said, yes. I said, oh, okay. So now I had that on my little voice recorder. And I said, okay, so I'm this non-journalist who just got a pretty significant story. What do I do now? And it just so happened that the following day, there was a journalism conference that was co-sponsored by The Nation magazine. Huh. So I ended up talking to one of The Nation editors. And he said, yeah, I guess write the story up. And then I wrote it up, and it was published. And then the following day, Jake Tapper asked Robert Gibbs, who was the press secretary at the time, about the story. So within like the matter of 48 hours, the story went from my stupid little voice recorder, presumably to President Obama, because he's briefed after every press briefing.
Right. And then at that point, who interviewed you on air about that, that would care about such a story?
That would have been the Young Turks. Yeah, this is when you and I were first talking about this job, I hadn't even thought about it for such a long time, but my memory was jogged, and I recalled that, you know, one of the very few media interviews that I did about that incident was with the Young Turks.
So now I, on the other hand, didn't remember it at all.
You know, I want somebody to go find that in the archive somewhere. I don't especially recall if you were on the show. I think it might have been Anna. I can't quite recall. I know I was on the Young Turks, though.
Okay, so was that your first ever on-air appearance?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Is that funny?
Oh my gosh.
And we all forgot about it. Yeah. And then later we wound up hiring him.
Came full circle, I guess.
Yeah. So that's pretty neat. Okay, the other thing that I, just real quick, last thing, I always care about, and it's a weird thing, but extracurricular activities in high school. Okay, so debate club, sports, I have no idea. Know me.
Okay, they called me Little Hillary Clinton because I was the head of my debate club. That's on my Twitter.
Okay, Jordan, settle down, settle down.
Model UN. I mean, granted, it was 2002. So Model UN, I started a club called Students for Democracy, not understanding the connection to SDS. And we had, it was a bipartisan organization where we had little mini conferences and conventions, and we'd go to state conventions and we'd meet with different political leaders and have debates. And I think it died after I left high school. And then mock trial. Mock trial was my life. Mock trial was my life. Mm-hmm. I think I almost failed all of my classes in my senior year because of mock trial. And then I play tennis and I do yoga.
Oh, okay.
There you go. That's my life. That's literally all of my life right there.
Okay. I don't think we got your issue.
No, when my hips and my hamstrings worked, I played basketball. So that was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
And what else? Played tennis. And my mother made me go to Jewish school after school.
I went to Turkey school once, and they kicked me out. And they're we're done
really?
With you. Yeah. It was actually one of my friend's moms taught it, and she's like, you're a pain in the ass. B, you already know Turkish, so stop messing around with people. Mm-hmm. No, you're gone. Because I kept disrupting the class. I know, shocking. You went to Greek school?
Oh, I hated Greek school. We had to get me a special tutor because I was so bad at Greek school.
But to be fair, it's probably Greek to you.
Greek is so bad.
Okay.
So in high school, I was on the tennis team.
Ooh,
maybe
tennis?
We should all go play YT tennis or something.
Who knew we had this connection? Dave Kohler, big tennis fan.
Ooh. Okay. I wrote for the school newspaper, which is not terribly surprising. I wasn't the editor in chief of it or anything like that, but I did write for it.
So no Jonathan Larson.
No.
and he was literally the editor in chief of the school paper at Tufts in college. Good.
Yeah. And I played in bands. So I played the clarinet, and I played in symphony orchestra. Oh. I played in the pit orchestra for musicals.
Oh, okay.
So that was basically what I did. I don't think, for some reason, it seems within my temperament that I would have done mock trial or something like that. But for some reason, I guess the people who were in it just seemed annoying to me, so I just didn't end up ever actually joining that club. But for some, in hindsight, I don't know why I didn't, because it seemed like I definitely liked to argue and annoy people.
And be a contrarian.
Yeah.
So for me, you guys know half of this story completely. I don't know why I don't talk about the other half. So half of it is that I played football. The other half is that I did Model UN and Model Congress. And I was such a giant dork that I did it partly to hook up with girls.
Those girls?
they call me a dork too.
Oh my gosh, the mock trial girls, ooh.
Yeah, no.
They're wonderful.
So we had a constitutional competition back then, and we are East Brunswick. My class came in number 2 in the whole country.
Wow.
Steve-O was in that class too. And they literally threw us a ticker tape parade in East Brunswick, New Jersey. I still have the jacket, for silver medal in a constitutional competition. Wow. So take that, Ted Cruz.
Wolfpack.
Yeah, and now Wolfpack. Awesome. There you go.
Did you save any of the ticker tape?
No, we were in a bus. All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for being here. Thanks for doing the show. And all of you, thanks for watching. Aggressive Progressive is up next in about a little over 20 minutes. All right, we'll see you there.